Hey, if you're a cleaning business owner and want to become an expert marketer or just proficient, but are really unsure of where to start, well, I put together a free marketing course that shows you how we run our Facebook ads or Google ads and the campaigns we use to squeeze the juice out of our lead list. So if that's up your alley, you can head over to loganscleaningco.com/marketing course and you get access to this course absolutely free and there's no opt-in required. So I hope you enjoy. Now back to the show.
I remember that conversation too, because you literally said that.
I seriously remember that. I remember that conversation. I was just like, you blew my mind. Like, I was like, how do you do that, man? Like, that's crazy.
Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast, where I share how to get more clients, increase sales, build a business that runs without you, and the many mistakes I've made on the journey. So hope you get value and subscribe.
And then, yeah, so that's where we met, was at that mastermind. And it was a great weekend. It was very fun. But where our paths came even more connected was that you and I were the first gym owners that Alex actually brought on as employees of Gym Watch, right? And we both did the daily call and we got to coach gym owners in a very similar setting to this, right? This is probably why you and I feel so comfortable in something like this, is because we did this every single day for years. I mean, I did it for 2 years, you did it for longer than I did. It was fun. And that's how you and I kind of came even more connected. And then at the end of, it was about in 2019, I had like this internal pull of my attention, right? I was obviously growing my gym. I was investing in real estate and I was working for Gym Launch. And I just was getting pulled in so many directions and I knew it wasn't fair for me to split my attention. And I made the decision to leave Gym Launch and go really pursue real estate. Was definitely the thing that I was focused on at the time. And you, Kay, like you stayed, right? And so like we were literally in very similar situations and I left and you stayed. And then like fast forward 3 years later, like dude's this freaking CEO of Gym Launch, which is now worth what, Kale, did you say? How much did you
currently,
say? It
was? Currently at 80, if we're going to sell today.
80 what?
80 million.
US?
Yeah, that's USD. Yes,
that freaking is wild, dude. And yeah, dude. So like, this is where you take over, where, how did that happen? Like I was gone over the last 3 years, so I know nothing. So everybody else knows nothing unless they've been stalking you for the last 3 years. But how did that happen? Like share us the story.
I'm a nobody, so nobody's stalking me. First of all, really appreciate being on here. Very humbled to be on here. Especially from my beginnings, and Logan's very familiar with how we all got started. So joining Gym Launch, I joined as a client. I was there for a year, met at that first mastermind. Fast forward to the following April, I joined Gym Launch. I quit my other job and then joined Gym Launch. And it's a full other story of why I always had jobs with my gym. That's a different thing. We can get into that later on. But joined as a salesperson selling, actually doing an internal sales with Logan. So I was on Logan's team. So joining with Logan, we had three guys on the team and did that, and then moved into doing front-end sales and back-end sales. And then 3 months later became a sales manager. And self-admittedly, and like, if you look at the data, I was a terrible sales manager, learned a ton. And I learned exactly what a good sales manager should be and what a bad sales manager looks like. And I would just look in the mirror and I know exactly what a bad sales manager is. But I learned a ton over about 8 months. And then I moved over to the coaching side, the product side, and became a coaching manager, helped build a team of roughly 30 plus coaches. Logan, you're one of them. And we built a team of coaches to do a coaching program that we were releasing within the Gym Launch community. And then we ended up actually just disbanding that entire team and then went a different direction with that. And then in January of 2020, I became the GM. Everything was looking amazing. It's 2020. It's beautiful. Gyms are doing great. Our business is moving up. Everything's just perfect. About 10 weeks later, everything came to a screeching halt. And as GM, basically, I remember in January, we had our strategic meeting and Alex Hormozi was like, cool, you're the GM. It's all you. Have fun. And so that all came to a screeching halt in March when everything got shut down. And then we won't rehash kind of what happened over the course of that time, but it was just a bitter grind for roughly 18 to 20 straight months of just figuring out whatever we could possibly do to try to help gym owners reach more people, change more lives, and build a profitable business during a time when they were not even allowed to be open. And I mean, countless hours. And then fast forward, we were preparing to sell. Alex and Layla were preparing to sell and get acquired. And I don't even remember. I remember asking Layla, I was like, cool. So like, who are we going to bring in as like a CEO? I'm assuming we're going to, so we're going to need to talk about a transition period and all this stuff. And she was basically was like, no, like you're the CEO. You're going to be the CEO. And I was just like blown away. I was like, what? Like, I was a guy that owned a broke gym in 2016 and 2017. I was about to shut my doors of my tiny little gym in 2017. And now you're telling me I'm going to be the CEO of a private equity acquired portfolio company. And very humbled. And then we closed December 24th, Christmas Eve, 2021, officially. So APG, American Pacific Group, a private equity firm out of San Francisco, purchased majority ownership of Gym Launch. And I became the CEO of, at the time, two companies. We now have three companies. One is a startup, shout out to gymowners.com. And we're currently building a tech startup on that. But yeah, and so since then I've been the CEO and we've been able to grow across the board as a portfolio, roughly 53% year over year since became CEO. And our team has done an exceptional job. And it's a shout out to our team. It's a shout out to all the amazing gym owners out there. And just, yeah, it's been an amazing ride. Amazing ride.
So Kale, touching that moment where, again, you guys see how Kale's so humble. He's like, who's going to be CEO, right? Like, truly didn't even see that himself was being the best candidate and asked Layla, who's going to be the CEO? But walk us through that moment when Layla said that you're going to be the CEO. What were some of the emotions, some of the thoughts? What were maybe some of the conversations that you and Maggie, if you guys don't know who Kale's wife Maggie is, like, amazing human, like, amazing humans hang out with amazing humans. And so anyway, what were the conversations that you and Maggie were having when Layla approached you about being CEO?
Yeah, I think the first obvious thing was shock. I was speechless for probably a good 60 seconds of just kind of sitting there and just being like, really? She's like, yeah. She's like, who else would do it? And then there's a mix of emotions. There's fear, right? Yeah. Of like, can I do it? Am I the right person? Like, I didn't even think that this would be something that I could do or I could handle. And then the conversations with Maggie were very similar of like, I don't even know what this is going to look like. Do we want this? Right. Yeah. Alex has this saying, heavy is the crown. And, you know, is this something that we want? Does this match our vision of what we want? And it did, and it still does. And there was a lot of, then it became excitement. And then the day that we closed, I remember after Christmas Day, the first week of being CEO, that first night. So after Christmas, the day after, I remember going to sleep the night of December 26th, and I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep the entire night. And I wanted to throw up. Like, I just felt sick to my stomach. I was thinking about all these things because I was like letting the fear and the limiting beliefs, you know, cloud my judgment. But I remember like getting out of bed that morning and just being like, cool, that's done. Now it's time to work. It's like, I'm here for a reason. And regardless of what happens, I'm still going to work through the fear. I'm still going to work through any disbelief that happens. And I'm going to face it every single day. And we're going to do everything we possibly can to help our clients be able to change the world.
There's one thing you said in there about a quote that you and Alex talked about. He said, and I didn't quite catch it. You say heavy is the crown.
Heavy is the crown. Yeah. So the person that's on top, there's so much you have to deal with that no one sees. So, cause if the business crashes, even though like we're owned by American Pacific Group, like if let's say the business crashes and goes down, that's on me. That's, I own the decisions. Like it's 100% on me and the strategy and the decision. So like, here's a perfect example. We get bought December 24th and they bought us with the idea of this product that we were selling at the time and offering to gym owners. And 2 months later, I'm looking at the data and the data is telling me that this isn't the best product for our customers and that we should scratch it and that we should start all over and offer a brand new product. So now I have to go into the very first board meeting in Q1 or technically Q2, the very first full board meeting that we have. I have to go into that and I have to tell a brand new board that we need to stop selling what we were selling during the sales process and show them that this is a better product and that they need to trust me, a brand new CEO that they've never met. Or they've met, they don't know, they have no track record, of knowing if he can actually deliver on this. And then we have to totally switch the offer that we have. And I told him that we would lose money in June, July. We would see a slight uptick in August, and then we would make more money than we were in September. And I'm very thankful to work with an incredible group, and they trusted us. And there was a lot of, they needed to see a lot of data. There were a lot of calls in between, but it worked out exactly like that, like to the T, like literally month by month, we did exactly what we projected, and we were able to do it because I knew that what we were doing was not the best offer for our clients, but like heavy as the crown, because I could just keep letting it go and just try to outsell it or try to work with it. But I was like, no, I need to make the hard call. This is the right move. And we need to go this route because it's what's best for our clients and what's best for the business long-term, not just in the short term.
Yeah. Does that resonate with anybody on here about making the tough decision right now that maybe nobody else sees but you? Did anyone else feel that in your business? Like every single person, right? And so like when you decide to be the CEO of your company, you decide to start a company, like whether you signed the agreement or not, like you became CEO of a company, you became the person who's in charge, and you also take the responsibility of wearing the crown, as Kale just says, right? So I want you guys to sit with that for a second. Like every single one here, they're feeling the pressure. Like this is your opportunity to serve. Like this is your opportunity to do what's required. Right. And then another thing that Kale talked about there too was, did you guys hear how there were so many times where his emotions, he felt the emotion of fear, the emotion of like not wanting to do anything, like being paralyzed, but he acted despite the fear, despite the emotion. Right. So Kale,
can I add something to that?
Yes, please.
I'm probably in the minority here, but for me, I feel that every day, at least for like a split second.
Yeah.
So just FYI, like we're doing better. We're making more money than we have historically. We have better margins than we have historically. We're helping more gym owners than we have historically. Our clients are getting better results than they have historically. And yet every day there's a point in every day where there's this fear and the lies that come into my head for a split second of like everything could come crashing down.
Yeah.
Right. And yet still have to act regardless. So I think it's important to understand because we all feel those, like regardless of the level, it's always there. Just because you reach a certain level doesn't mean that it all suddenly becomes beautiful and amazing. It's just now there's the next level and it's just acting in spite of it.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that even if the people on here, if they have a business that does $10,000, $15,000 a month, that they're going to feel those type of emotions when they make $50,000 a month, Kale?
You're going to feel the exact same emotions.
When they make $100,000 a month?
You'll make the same, you'll feel the exact same thing.
And so is it worth avoiding or is it worth accepting? Or is it what is the strategy? Honestly, what is the strategy of dealing with emotions?
I think you have to understand there's a lot of strategy. The simple strategy is to work through it. You just work through it.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you're going to have to work through it regardless, no matter what. And you have to lean in and conquer it. I love it. But the other thing is really just you have to understand, are you in it for the right reasons? Like, do you actually truly want it?
Yeah.
And sometimes the end result isn't like the money is one thing. Like you guys will get in here. You're going to be super successful. You're going to crush it. You'll make a lot of money. You'll realize that the money, like let's say you're sitting at $15,000 a month and you want to get to $100,000 a month. You get to $100,000 a month and it's still not enough. Trust me. So it's not the money. The thing that helps me a ton is the game of business and increasing my skill sets in every level. And if I can learn how to play a game at a higher level, which is what you get to do as you make more money, you get to play a game at a higher level.
Yeah.
That's what's fun. And that's what allows me to push through any fear because it's like, cool, that means I'm leveling up. Every time I recognize that fear, it's an opportunity for me to recognize there's something that I need to learn. There's a skill set that I need to acquire that I haven't yet acquired.
And there's something you said too that maybe some people caught, maybe some people didn't. But when you went in and had that hard conversation with the new group about you guys, like it would have been easy for Kale just to do what had been easy for him, which was just to keep doing what he was doing. But if you guys heard what he said, it wasn't in the best interest for the client. And so Cale's job as CEO was to serve the business. And the one way that Gym Launch goes is by having clients. And so he knew that the product was not the best product. And so he was willing to take a short-term prestige loss. And I say prestige, not from Prestige Labs, which is a whole different company that is part of Gym Launch, but just from a, basically an ego hit. Like Cale was willing to say, hey, I'm going to put myself on the line because I know, I believe there's a better product out there for our current clients. And so that service also allows you to make tough decisions. It allows you to push through fear, because when we take the focus off of us and our problems, we put it on who we're serving, it allows action to be more fluid. Right? So that's one thing I want you guys to catch when Cale said that. And again, it's one of the reasons why Cale is a good leader, is because he focuses on serving. Like he's a service first person. And then that obviously rolls over to him and how he makes decisions as a CEO, is like he serves. So it's awesome. So you talked a little bit about this new company. Is that what it, I don't know, what did you call it? Like what is Gym Owners?
.com. Gymowners.com. It's literally the name of the company. Gymowners.com is a tech startup that we're building. We're building a brand new CRM and tech integration for gym owners to replace their CRM. We're going to build something that eliminates jobs within a gym. I know that sounds bad, but from an ownership standpoint, it saves them money. And we'll include task automation, everything that a gym owner needs inside of one system to be able to go out and get more clients, sign them up, keep them longer, manage their teams, and do everything in one spot. Because I found, we've done a lot of research and we've spent a lot of years looking at CRMs, and I won't get too much into it because that's not the focus of this, but a lot of CRMs are built from a engineering mindset rather than a gym owner mindset. And I want to bring something to market that's actually completely free for gym owners and gives them everything that they need to run a gym, wildly profitable, eliminate some admin positions, do a ton of task automation for them, and take over the CRM space.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think everyone in here who is part of our clean business community, we all face the same similar challenge that we face in the gym industry, is that there is no one CRM, right? There's a bunch of different CRMs. Everyone has their pros and cons, but there's not one that was made specifically for what we're trying to do. So maybe Cale can knock it down in the gym space, and then somehow we can figure out how to turn that into the cleaning space. But
let me crush the gym space first.
exactly. So you've been CEO now for almost 2 years, I guess a year and a half, right? Along with building this new product line, gymowners.com, like what targets do you guys have set out? You don't have to be specific, but like, do you guys have a 5-year target, 10-year targets, 1-year targets? Like, do you have targets that you guys have set out that you guys are moving towards every day?
Yeah, for sure. So the way that we structure our goal setting within our portfolio, and this is also, we've already been doing this, but this is actually how they do it within APG and all their portfolio companies. We do what they call their Q process, which we set 5-year DSOs, which are desired superior outcomes. So 3 to 5 year range, like what's the dream state that you want your business to be in? And then we set VFOs, which are yearly. And so those are called vital few objectives, VFOs. And we set those on a yearly basis. And our goal, there's no more than 5 VFOs. And our goal is that if we accomplish these move us closer to achieving our DSO. And our DSO can be 10, 15, 20 things. And then we break it up into quarterly MITs, most important tasks. It's very similar to like OKRs, if you're familiar with, I think it's EOS system. Like there's all these similar things, WIGs. There's always a bunch of different stuff, but that's how we do it. And I think overarching goal here is within Gym Launch, my goal personally is to build a business that's valued at an enterprise value of roughly $250 million to $350 million. And then because we're in the private equity world, the whole goal is to build and then get acquired. And so our goal is to build to an EV of roughly $300 million and sell and get acquired. That's awesome.
If you wouldn't mind sharing a couple of those yearly goals, not maybe that specific year, actual specific goal, but what are some of those numbers that you're setting as, or some of those variables you're setting as goals. Like, is this like you're looking for specific revenues, specific profit, and amount of customers? Like, what are just like some things that people hear can be like, oh, like these are five goals that I can actually put, that I can set as goals in my business as well.
Yeah. So we always do a budgeting process. Every single like Q4 is our budgeting process. We get our budget in line for the next year, and then we stick to that budget, and then we judge against that budget. And that budget includes to the detail of how many clients we sign up in every program every month, how much we spend on ad spend that month, how much we have budgeted, what is our expected growth, what's our expected churn in every single program, what's our expected renewal rate, how much, like on the supplement side, like what's our COGS going to be, what's our shipping cost going to be, what's our insurance cost going to be, both cyber, everything. So we build all of that out. And when we build those out, we first start with the idea of, cool, what's our previous history? Then what do we think that we can do? And then how can we improve this to increase both top line and bottom line? Because in the private equity world, it's EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization, which is basically a crazy word of saying profit before you have all the other stuff. And so our goal is to increase EBITDA. And what we do is we just reverse engineer kind of from long-term of where we want to go. And then we go into every single month and we build it. So our targets are typically, the goal is within a private, like private equity group, is to grow roughly anywhere between 33% to like 50 to 60% over the course of the fund, which is typically 5 years. And that's the goal. So our goal is to, well, really it's to really triple, but like our goal is to triple in 3 years, 4 years.
Awesome. So basically, if people are on here being like, what should I focus on? It's really simple. You actually focus on your profit. Like that's the goal, that's the number they should be focusing on. If there's one like high and mighty, one target that they're focused on, it's profit.
Always. Always. Cool. And like your two drivers of that are obviously, it's super simple. Like keep it super simple. Your two drivers of that are top line. I can make more. And then cost. How can I decrease costs and increase efficiencies within my organization?
That's awesome. Was that helpful, guys? Coming from someone who runs an $80 million company, like you guys can now scale this down to your company. Like, what should you guys be focused on? Like, let me see in the chat. What should you guys be focused on? What's the number one thing? And then what are the two variables that affect your profit? Yeah. It's awesome. All right. We have some questions here, Kale. Do you think we should get to some of these questions? Holy moly, we have lots of questions here. We're not gonna get to all the questions, guys. I'm sorry. We have about 30 minutes and
speed round. I'm just speed through them.
We're gonna rock through them here. So are you guys ready for some questions? You guys ready? You guys ask these questions. Are you guys ready for them? Okay, cool. And I don't know who asked these questions, but James, thank you, James, for grabbing these questions and putting them on here for me. Okay. Let's see. First question here. What type of personality traits and skills does someone need in order to grow an $80 million business? And you can even take that down. Like, what sort of skills and traits does it take for somebody to grow a business?
Yeah. I think you need to be a little bit crazy.
What do you mean by that?
I think you need to have a belief that you can achieve something that other people find unreasonable. If you feel out of place around a lot of your friends and family who have regular steady jobs and you're an entrepreneur, you're doing something right. You're not weird. Welcome to being an entrepreneur. You're not out of place. I remember sitting down and having dinner with a friend of my father-in-law's, and I was owning the gym, and I'll never forget this conversation. And that was, he mentioned something on a side comment to him that didn't mean anything to him, but to me, it made, I'll never forget it. And he just said, cool, so when are you going to get a real job? And I remember hearing that. And I just remember, I let it pass because I'm like, we're having dinner. I don't need to do anything. But like, I just remember letting that sink in. And I've always kind of been the weird, odd person out. Might have been because I was homeschooled my entire life too. And I moved every 3 years. And the only way I could fit in was playing baseball and meeting new friends. So I figured out that I had to find a way to fit into different rooms and understand and read people really quickly. But I think you have to be unreasonable in your expectations and unreasonable in your dreams. And to couple that, you also have to have an unreasonable amount of persistence, because you're just going to get punched in the face consistently. And if you're ready and okay with getting punched in the face, and you realize that quickly, you'll realize what hard actually is. And once you realize what hard actually is, then you can go through anything. When you wake up one day and your client, like in the gym space, like one of your trainers left and took half your clients, okay, this is what hard feels like. And then you rebuild it, right? Or you wake up one day and your payment processing is shut down and you can't process any payments and you figure out a way around it. You're like, okay, this is what hard feels like. I'm going to move through it. And then the next time that happens, you're like, I've already done it. I know how to fix this. I know how to solve this. But if you go into it understanding that it's not an easy ride and that while everyone's out, like having fun, getting their salary and, you know, clocking in 9 to 5, but on the weekends, they're living like they actually, they're having fun on the weekends because they hate their jobs and they hate their life, but you're there chasing your dream. Like you're the one that's doing it well. You're the one that's living life right.
Dude, that was a fire answer. That was amazing. Okay, next question we have here. How did you learn to be an effective communicator?
I still don't think I'm a very effective communicator. I'm still learning that one. Listening and being in the room with people that I believe are effective communicators. I had the pleasure of, and I still get the pleasure of talking with Alex Hormozi a lot. And I got the pleasure of working literally right with him and being on multiple calls per week with him for 2 straight years and spending a lot of time with him. And I think we could all agree, if anyone here is familiar with Alex Hormozi, that he is a highly effective communicator. And just sitting and watching him and being self-aware to understand the first principles behind how he communicates and just taking in what he says and watching him, how he interacts with people, what he says when a question is being asked, how he thinks through the mental models, going through his head to answer a question. Those are the things for me. I remember getting onto the strat team for the very first time. So we have like multiple levels of leadership within our team. We have an executive team, so our C-suite, and then we have, which is a group of 5 of us. And then we have our strat teams for each company. These are strategic leaders within each one. And then we have kind of the rest of our team. And I remember getting to the strategic team for the first time. And I don't think I really said a word for like 2 months. I just sat there and listened, which is not good, by the way, not good. I should have said something and spoke up. But I remember just sitting there because I wanted to get a lay of the land and understand, okay, how do people interact? How are people communicating? What's the best way to go about it? And to this day, I mean, if I get in a room of people smarter than me, I'm just going to shut up and I'm just going to listen. So, but effective communication, I think it comes down to, I'll go this way with this. Effective communication is being able to take any type of information, idea, theory, boil it down into something very simple that you can get across extremely fast. Because time is the most valuable thing that we have. And the most effective communicators take very complex things, boil it down into something very simple, and communicate it in a way that everyone can understand. And so I've spent a lot of my time doing that. And I have a tactical way, if you guys want to know, like a super tactical way. Does anybody want to know? If you do this thing every day for the next 2 years, you'll be in the top 1% of effective communicators in the world. But you have to do this every single day for at least 2 years. You have to pull your phone out or pull your camera out, and you need to make short form content, and you need to teach people or provide you like valuable advice and information every single day. You need to get on video and you need to post it, and then you need to watch it, and then you need to get better, and you need to do it again, and then do it again. Don't script it, do it. If you do that, you will be an exceptional communicator and influencer. And I don't mean influencer like influencer on social media. I mean influencer in the means that you will be able to influence people.
Yeah. That right there is like, everyone here was expecting like a little zinger and a little tidbit. And what Kale gave you was actual practice, actual work to be done. And so that's going to separate the people who are actually going to become effective communicators. Is like, it's not in a book that you read. It's not in a quote you saw from on Instagram. It's doing the thing. And like, how many of you guys went and followed Kale? Did everyone do that? Did everyone on here go follow Kale? James, we dropped Kale's link again, please. For anyone who was sleeping, who was snoozing when we dropped it earlier. Like, if you guys look at Kale's Instagram, he posts a lot of content, right? Like, he's someone who doesn't just talk about it, but he does it. Is it super easy talking to your phone and no one talks back to you? It's a different skill set. right? When you're like trying to solve someone's problem and they haven't even told you what the problem is, like that's a different skill set to have. And so like, that's what Kale is saying, is that like, by you just practicing, by talking to this phone and by trying to like teach and solve problems, you're able to anticipate when somebody does, when you are in a situation where you can actually get some interaction, that you'll be able to help take a complex problem and maybe you can spit out a Instagram worthy tweet, quote, or whatever it is, right? Like you can condense it into something that's like, it's punchy and it makes sense and people can like, and can take action on it, but you can't skip the work. Kale. Okay. Let's go a little soft now. Let's go a little softer here. Like, what is, do you have a favorite book? Like what book outside of $100 million offers and Alex's new book, $100 leads, we all know that's going to be our new favorite book, but outside of those two books, which everyone on here, just so you know, Kale, like I bought every single person on this call a book.
Nice.
And, but outside of those two books, what is one of your favorite books? Just personally, not the one that you'd recommend. We're not asking for recommendations. Like just one that like resonates with you.
So I'm kind of weird. I'm obsessed with just growth, period. So most of my stuff like is going to be business related or growth related. So my favorite book outside of the Bible, so I'm a believer, outside of that is The Motive by Patrick Lencioni. And he writes this kind of story. He teaches through a story of two different CEOs and the way that they act differently and how one CEO learns from the other on how to motivate his team, inspire his team, and improve his overall company's performance. It's called The Motive. I'll type it into the chat.
Nice.
By Patrick. Yeah. He has a bunch of, I'm probably going to butcher how I
he's think the same author as The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, correct?
Yep.
Or the five, is it five functions or five dysfunctions?
I think it's five dysfunctions. Wrong. Yeah. I think I've actually got it here. It's been a while since I've read it, but yeah, The Motive is, I would say, is hands down my favorite book.
That's awesome.
I'm pretty simple. I like stories. I like picture books. You know, like anything that's really easy to digest.
What about this book, Kale? You like this book?
Oh, that one. this one?
Yeah.
This one's up there.
You should rewrite this book.
Dude, I've been throwing it around for the last couple weeks, actually. Like, I've thought about it.
Seriously. Yeah. If you guys didn't know, before $100 million offers, Alex wrote a book called Gym Launch Secrets. It's actually really good. I actually listened to it on Audible the other day. What it was really cool, from my point of view, and Kale, like, I'm sure you've gone through it recently. You actually use this book, right? It's basically like a manual of how to freaking run a gym. Like, it's really good.
Yep.
It was really cool to hear the principles that were outlined in this book are still effective and still are being used today. That's first and foremost. But the second thing, and this is more from what I took from it, was just like how much better of a communicator Alex is now versus when he wrote this book, right? And like Alex was great here. Now he's exceptional. But it's just cool to see that there's also growth along the way, which gives the normal humans, like the rest of us, just like hope that if we just, like Kale said, if we can just stick in the game long enough, we can be persistent enough that we can have the opportunity to be great as well.